So now let's talk about the research. I mean, when I started digging into this topic, because what's happened is there's a bunch of small communities on the web that are very interested in intermittent fasting. You guys may have heard from them or seen them. Maybe some of you write for blogs that espouse this. But it's still very niche, just like paleo was, for example. And I was looking at these and I'm like, interesting, but they didn't meet like enough check boxes for me in terms of like relying on research and sort of this combination of research and practice and, you know, using enough test subjects, because people will just be like, well, I tried it and it was awesome. Everyone, you should try it now. You know what I mean? That kind of stuff. So for us, it was just like I was intrigued, but I wanted to apply a little bit more rigor to it. So I started contacting the top fasting researchers and asking them their opinions and collecting lists of benefits and looking at the published research. So right now, here are some of the things that we think happens. I'll talk about why we think it happens and not why we know it happens in a minute. So what we see, reduced blood lipids, so triglycerides and LDL cholesterols. Blood pressure, okay, so we think it's a parasympathetic nervous system shift that happens. Inflammation, so these are all the markers that we use. For those of you who are familiar with research, they'll mean something to you, everyone else, meaningless, but these are the markers of inflammation in the body. So these things all go down. Oxidative stress, protein, lipid, DNA damage is the byproduct of that. And even risks of cancer. There's some data suggesting that risk of cancer goes down with sort of practicing intermittent fasting in one way or another. Okay, there's all kinds of ways to practice it. Next, other benefits. So here are some things that get increased potentially. So cell turnover and repair. This is called autophagocytosis. But it's the idea, like you guys know when you work out, you weight train, you break down tissue. But you don't think that's bad, do you? You think it's good, because you want to build up stronger and better tissue, more functionally adapted later, right? So the idea here is that this happens in all the cells of our body, and intermittent fasting may accelerate that process. So we can break down old tissues and replace them with new functionally adapted tissues. And that's organ tissues and it's skin tissues. We know this all happens routinely, right? You slough off old layers and new ones grow. Happens in every cell. Our bones turn over, your entire skeletal system turns over in about a year, year and a half. So a year and a half from now, like you feel like your bones didn't go anywhere, but they've been replaced completely. Fat burning. So fatty acid oxidation later in the fast. And that's what I'm talking about. All these epinephrine, norepinephrine, fight or flight hormones are released, and that's just liberating fat from fat cells, okay? Growth hormone, this is a huge impact. The longer your fast goes out, the higher this growth hormone spike is. And I've seen data after 24, 36 hour fasting where it's like a 500% increase in growth hormone release. It's pretty impactful. Now, you're not eating during all that time. So if you're like, oh man, I'm gonna get jacked. Nah, not really. Like, cause you got high growth hormone at that point, but not a lot of nutrients flooding in to support tissue accumulation. And metabolic rate, and this happens later in the fast. And this is contrary to what most people believe. What have we been taught? And I've taught that at times based on research that I thought was available or that I had read, that when you eat frequently throughout the day, what happens? You stimulate your metabolism. And there may be a small effect, but it's probably not relevant, all right? And some data suggests that if you fast intermittently, towards the end of the fast, your metabolism starts to go up. And again, epinephrine, norepinephrine, fat mobilization, these types of things. So I'm not saying that we shouldn't eat frequently. I'm just saying that when you say to your clients, we need to eat frequently because it'll stimulate your metabolism, you're not telling them the truth. And I'm not blaming you. I used to think that too. That doesn't mean you'll tell them to eat less frequently, okay? There's still other benefits of eating frequently for some clients. But that one is not research supported. So, I don't know, stop saying it. So a couple more benefits, improved appetite control, blood sugar control, cardiovascular function, even some data showing like higher doses of chemotherapy in cancer patients during cancer treatment can be given. With less side effects. Maybe not relevant to any of you right now, but certainly relevant to cancer populations who we actually work with through the University of Pennsylvania. And something called neurogenesis and plasticity. So it's the ability of your brain cells to do what we talked about earlier. Recover, replenish, recycle. Now the big question right now, and a lot of intermittent fasting proponents gloss over this very conveniently, is that most of the research on this, the subjects end up getting calorie restricted anyway. So is it the fasting or is it just the fact that they're eating less food? That's the big question right now that's unresolved. Because we all know, if you have your clients eat less food, all the benefits we just put up there happen. So if you eat 5 meals a day and eat less food, is that the same as intermittent fasting and eating less food? I'd love to give you that answer, but I don't know yet. Okay? The other problem is that most of the research has been done on these little critters right here. Okay? Very few human studies, because it's hard research to do. Imagine you're recruiting subjects. Usually, where do you recruit them from? College, university. So you got a bunch of university students, and you're like, hey, I need you to do this study. You're gonna eat some protein and vegetables at 10 o'clock every day, no other food. So you're not gonna find a lot of subjects for that. I'm actually working with a group right now that is looking at that, and they have a cool metabolic chamber, and I don't know if you guys have ever seen this, but literally people live in this chamber, and it measures all calorie expenditure, and then you can control intake. So we're looking at some of these questions right now. And it's really cool because there's no energy losses, right? It's not like wearing a metabolic cart mouthpiece. You're just living in a controlled environment where you can measure expenditure and intake perfectly. Okay, so it's neat, but we're not there yet, okay? So really what we do have are the popular intermittent fasting programs. So there's a bunch on the web, and I'm gonna go over the most popular ones that have gotten the most momentum and have the most diehard followers, if you wanna call it that, okay? So the first one, and this is the one most of the human research has been done on, is alternate day fasting. So the idea is you just eat some food every other day. On the days in between, you don't eat any food. So how does this work out? Well, it's basically a 36-hour fast and a 12-hour feed. So why 36 and 12? Well, let's say you eat Monday. So you eat from breakfast, lunch, dinner on Monday, and then you go to sleep. So you have 12 hours of overnight, and then a full day Tuesday of not eating, and then you wake up on Wednesday and you eat, right? So it ends up being 36 hours of not eating and 12 hours of eating. So that's one method, eat every other day. If you're not working out, I think this is okay. Adherence would be miserable on this, right? I mean, only the most hardcore people would do this. And also, I feel like you'd have to really strategically plan your workouts, and I feel like it's a long time of not eating. So maybe very obese clients who could adhere to this, like have a high confidence level that they can do this, it may make a big impact on them. Because for a lot of obese clients who are, you know, investigating surgeries and things like that to sort of help with their obesity problem, they're looking at extreme stuff anyway. Right? So we can meet extreme with extreme. Another one that's become popular is called Eat, Stop, Eat. All right, and that's just the name of a book by the author. And the idea was that just once a week or two times a week, you do a full day fast. So for me, like it might be Sundays because that's the day I like to do it. Maybe Sundays and Wednesdays or something like that. Okay, so it's not every other day. You just pick 2 days and you just fast for 24 hours. So this would be like my 10 to 10 thing. So don't eat, you know, from dinner to another dinner. Another one that's become popular, now this isn't strictly an intermittent fasting type approach. It's called the warrior diet, but it's close enough, all right? Some people have taken issue with that on the internet that I've called it that, but it's close enough. So the idea is that you'd basically eat lightly for 20 hours, okay? So almost fast, and then within like a 4-hour period at night, you'd have big meal. You know, you'd basically, let's say you structure your day, you get up in the morning, have a coffee, maybe have a piece of fruit or something, then you just go to work and have your day. In the evening, you have your workout, and then after your workout before bed, just have a big meal, eat what you want, whatever. For bigger people, it kind of becomes like an all-you-can-eat buffet, right? Because you're like, if you need 3,000 calories a day, you got to get them in like a big, huge meal or a big meal and a snack. All right, so loads of people like that. Okay, other people can't stand it. Like they don't like to eat to be that full. But again, just another potential approach. And then another one that's gotten a lot of traction in the workout, fitness, strength training community is something called Lean Gains. And that's just, again, self-titled by the author of the program, where it's a 16-hour fast, 8-hour feed, and you just do it every day. There's no special fasting days or anything. You just basically fast till lunch every day if you want to apply it that way. So you just skip breakfast. It's very close to what I'm doing right now or what I showed you. So you just have like a lunch and a dinner and maybe a snack in between, and you just don't have breakfast every day. That's it. And the way I apply it is I just end the fast with a workout. So that's the other thing. And then there's one more that's kind of interesting, which is just like a random meal skipping type of thing. So every once in a while, you would just skip a breakfast and a dinner. This is hard for a lot of fitness people who like schedules and stuff like that. But the community who kind of endorses this kind of believes that historically, if you believe in evolution and that kind of thing, that we did this, right? We went for periods of not eating because of either food scarcity or the, you know, I don't know, people think they know how we lived in Paleolithic times, for example. Oh, well, they were hunting all day, they brought the food home, so they ate at night, so this makes a lot of sense. That's just a bunch of made up stuff, you know what I mean? Like, we really don't know how they did things, but that's their belief system. So random meal skipping is sort of an application of that. Like, that's probably how we evolved.